what goes forth, your blessings will be ours. Lord, let it please you to speak through me this morning, to make your words clear, to make the message clear, and for us to be granted life from the bread of heaven this morning. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Amen. This morning, I'd like to start a 2-3 week series. There has been, over the past few weeks now, some videos floating around about tithes, whether Christians should pay tithes or Christians should not give tithes. And I know that we haven't talked about this in many, many years as a church, but this is a topic I feel that we have to address in church. And I title for the technical team this series, The Offering God Deserves. The Offering God Deserves. And by the grace of God, this week, we're going to look at the offering called the sacrifice. Next week, we're going to look at what really tithes, what it is. And the following week, if God allows us, we'll look at the free will offering. So today we look at the sacrifice, next week at the tithe, and the following week at the free will offering. Because all these things, all these topics, they tie together in the larger picture of what it means to for a mortal to give back to God. We know that God owns all things, and it's not as if God needs anything from us. But as children of God, it's in gratitude, it's in a willingness within our hearts of gratitude to what God has done, that God allows us to, in a way, give back to Him. And we're going to look at what really is the tithe, what really is a sacrifice, what really is a free will offering. And in seeing all this, I pray that we will have a better understanding. We will truly be grounded in the scriptures as to what it means to give to God. Because there is a lot of what I call tradition that is floating around. There's a lot of things that are not grounded in scripture. But today and in the next 3 weeks, we're going to open a lot of scriptures so that we will have a clear understanding of what these topics mean. So that if anybody tells you this or that, you can tell from scripture what the Bible says, which is what is most important. Not what man says, not what tradition has laid from the ages, but what does the Word of God say? Because the Word of God is what we call the objective truth. There's no subjective truth about it. If there's anything subject about it, it's because we misinterpret. And so we have to go back, like Paul said, talked about the Berean Christians, to search the scriptures. What does the scripture say about giving to God? When did man start giving to God? What is the history of giving to God? Who in the Bible gave to God? How did the tithe come about? What did Jesus say about the tithe? What in the epistles teach about the tithe? And when we have this understanding, we will not be confused, because there's a lot of confusion going around now. So today we'll start with the sacrifice. The sacrifice. And I take my text from the book of Genesis chapter 4. And I'll read from verses 1 through verse 16. Genesis chapter 4. And I'd love to implore us also, you know, for anyone to get a good understanding of what this series is about, you need to listen to everything. Because if you listen to just the first part, you will not get a full understanding. If you listen to next week's and just next week's alone, you will not get a full understanding. Because everything I'm going to talk about, they're all tied together. They're all tied together. So if you are traveling, I'll say just ask Brother Kunle there to give you the link. Because we've improved a little bit. We're now digital ourselves. So that the message for today, it will be online somewhere. And then Brother Kunle can help you. If you have a smartphone, there's something called an RSS reader. The other apps call it podcasts. He can help you to put it on your phone. It's free. And then you can listen to the message if you're not here. But I implore us, please, these three messages are very important. Like Brother Wiley said, the last time I think we talked about tithe in this church was when? Maybe nearly 20 years ago now. Not up to 20 years ago. Okay. How many years ago? 4 or 5 years ago. Okay. So maybe if you don't hear another one, maybe next 5 years. So we'd like to have a very good understanding of what it means to give to God. Genesis 4, I'll read from verse 1. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bore his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time, it came to pass that Cain bought of the fruit of the ground an offering. In Hebrew, it says a minha, an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering, he had no respect. Another version of the Bible says, and the Lord regarded with favor. And the Lord regarded with favor the offering of Abel, but he did not regard the offering of Cain. Verse 5. And unto Cain and to his offering he had no respect. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, why are you angry? And why is your countenance fallen? If you do well, shalt thou not be accepted? Will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at your door. And unto you shall be his desire, and you shall, and he shall rule over you. That is, and sin shall rule over you. And Cain talked with Abel his brother. And it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. This was the first account of murder in the Bible. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel, your brother? And he said, I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, why hast thou done? What hast thou done? The voice of your brother cries unto me. The voice of your brother's blood cries unto me from the ground. And now you are cursed from the earth, which has opened her mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you till the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto you its strength. A fugitive and a wanderer you shall be in the earth. And Cain said unto the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, you have driven me out this day from your face. From the face of the earth, and from your face shall I be hidden, and I shall be a fugitive and a wanderer in the earth, and it shall come to pass that anyone that finds me shall slay me. And the Lord said unto him, therefore, whosoever slays Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord, and dwelt in the land of Nod, in the east of Eden. From this story, we read of two brothers born of Adam and Eve, our oldest progenitors, two brothers born. Cain was the older brother, and Abel was the younger brother. And the Bible said, in the course of time, some other versions say at the end of time, both brothers brought an offering to the presence of God. Whether God had given them instructions of how to bring offerings, or God had told them when to bring the offering, we do not know, because the Bible does not say. All we know from the Bible that there was a time that was set for them to bring an offering, and at that time, both brothers brought their offerings to the presence of God. One brother, being a farmer, brought what he could bring, which was something from the ground, which will have been corn, cassava, whatever it was. But he brought an offering from what he tilled from the ground. Another brother that was a shepherd brought an offering to the Lord from what he did as a vocation and gave unto God from his flock. But there was an additional thing the Bible put there, that he gave of the fat of his firstlings. And that particular passage gives us a window, an inkling into why something that God regarded of their offering, why that happened. Because of the offering of the younger brother called Abel, the Bible tells us that God did not regard it. God did not look at it with favor. But unto the offering of the older brother, Cain, God did not look at it with favor. God did not regard it. But unto the offering of the younger brother, God looked at it. God regarded not only the offering. The Bible says that God regarded Abel and his offering. God regarded both the person and the offering and looked upon it with his favor. But upon the brother, God did not look with favor. Now, traditionally, a lot of men of God have talked about what the meaning of this passage is regarding the offering that they brought before God. The Hebrew word for offering there was minhah. And mina meant just a gift or a free will offering or a meal offering that anybody brought before the presence of God. So traditionally, people have, there are four schools of thought on why God did not regard the offering of Cain, but God regarded the offering of Abel. And the four schools of thought, one, some people say it's because it's God's sovereign choice. Because you know what sovereign choice means? Does anybody know what sovereign choice means? Sister Kemi, what's sovereign choice? Special? Success, what's sovereign choice? Exactly, that is exactly what it means. Because God is divine, he does as he pleases. No matter how good your offering is, he can say, I don't regard it. No matter how poor your offering is, he can say, I regard it. But I do not believe this, because the Bible tells us why. The second school of thoughts, they say, because Cain brought a bloodless sacrifice. And as a young Christian, that is what I learned. But in now studying the Bible further, I have gone away from that school of thought, and I'll tell you why. And many people still believe this. They believe that, well, this was the inauguration of the Levitical laws about sacrifice. And so the brothers knew to bring a blood sacrifice before God because blood washes away sin. And I'll tell you why. Now, the third school of thoughts, they say that because one offering was of greater quality than the other, okay? And the fourth one says it was because of their attitude. One's attitude was different from the other. The last two, of quality and attitude, is what I have come to believe. And this is what I'm going to talk about today. And I'll tell you why the first one is not even right, because the Bible gives us an inkling in a way. The one about blood or no blood, because there's some problem with that. Because if we say blood or no blood, that means God regards a shepherd more than he'll regard a farmer, according to what they've brought. But the Bible tells us something. And sometimes we have to read between the lines and read from other parts of Scripture to see what the truth is. Because if we take just that alone, we will miss it. Now, the Bible says that Cain brought an offering. Cain brought an offering. Let's read it again. Verse 3. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. If anybody has NIV, could you please read? I normally don't like NIV, but we'll read it today. The New International Version.
In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord.
In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. Okay? The next verse from the KJV, it says that, and Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And that is the key. Abel brought of the firstlings of his flock and the fat thereof. Okay? As many of you know, there was a time in my life when I was a farmer. I haven't said that in a long time. And really, I was a farmer. Because at the time, I had sheep, so I could say I was a shepherd also. And I know very well that, you see, when you start with a flock, and your flock gives birth, the firstlings, the first set of children, or whatever younger ones your flock has, they're very important for you to keep. Because this is going to be how your flock increases. Because normally you would mate certain animals together for a particular attribute you are looking for. And so when you get that attribute in the firstlings, you tend to keep them. And so naturally you will say, okay, maybe when those ones have other children, I will give it to God. But what Abel did was that he took the firstlings, one of the most precious seeds of what his flock gave birth to, and gave it to the Lord. But not, he didn't stop there only. He said he gave of the fat. Now, when we read of fat, the natural thing we think of is what? Adipose tissue, right? That yellow stuff that we don't eat. But when the Bible talks about fat, it's a figure of speech. Sometimes it actually talks about adipose tissue, you know, the fat we're trying to exercise to lose. But many times when the Bible talks about the fat, it talks about the most precious part of an animal. So you remember in the book of 1 Samuel, when Eli and his children began to take of the fat that was in the cauldron, they devised a fork. And as they said, it was the tradition of the fathers, which wasn't the tradition of God. It was the tradition of the fathers. That means they made that tradition that the priests will take a fork and dip it into the cauldron, and anything that comes of the cauldron, they will say it's the priests. And God had already given them from the book of Leviticus, from the book of Numbers, from the book of Deuteronomy, this is what the priest is supposed to have. But they went an extra mile to now put tradition upon tradition to begin to take of what they call the fat, the most precious piece, which was supposed to be for God, which was supposed to be not what the priests should have, which was supposed to be something that would be set ablaze, consumed for the glory of God, they were taking it to themselves. And God was displeased. So many times when the Bible talks about the fat, it talks about the choice pieces. You know, when you go to the market, back where I come from, the worst pieces, we call them ashame egun. Means, you know, when they've cut every meat out, the tiny pieces of meat that clings onto the bone, that is, those are the worst pieces. Those are the pieces the poor people eat. Like for dogs. Growing up as a young man from an African tradition, anytime we kill chicken, the thigh belonged to, you all know. The thigh belonged to daddy. There was took a very long time before I ate the thigh. And then for you, the children, it would either be the neck, which was pretty much bone alone, or the feet below the thigh, or the head. Eh? For you who had money, you could eat some meats. But for those who didn't have money, it was the ones that had a lot of bone on them. But Abel, what he gave to God was something precious to him. Was something precious to him. What Cain gave to God, it wasn't that Cain did not have, but Cain just brought something. It was as if you say, I take anything and give to God. Abel thought about what he brought. And brought something precious before God. And the Bible noted it. And that talked about the quality of his offering before God. That was the first aspect. The second aspect, if we read other scriptures also. Now, let's start with this one. After God said he did not regard the offering of Cain, there was this particular verse of scripture which followed. God said, Cain, why is your countenance falling? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? That means that Cain had an opportunity to still do something that was right before God. Because God gave him an opportunity, the chance, by that statement, if you do what is right, will you not be accepted? Remember, it wasn't only the offering that was accepted. The person was accepted. So what was wrong in this picture was not only the offering of Cain, which is what a lot of people focus on, that the offering of Cain was without blood. But Cain himself had a problem. Because God said, If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? Furthermore, God told him, my son, sin lies at your door, ready to master you. That means that what people did not see, God saw through the heart of Cain and saw that there was something wrong. Now, what other scripture tells us there was something wrong? Can somebody open to the book of 1 John 3:12? If you get there, please read. 1 John chapter 3, verse 12. Don't be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one and did what? Murdered his brother. Okay? Jude, verse 11. Anybody who gets there, please read. Jude, verse 11. Thank you. Now, what three people did he mention there? Cain, Balaam, Korah. Do we know what happened to Cain? What did Cain do? He murdered his brother. What did Balaam do? He prophesied for money. What did Korah do? He rebelled. You see, at the root of all these three things is the heart that is not right with God. And that was exactly the problem of Cain. Cain's heart was not in the right place. And because his heart was not in the right place, what he brought before God wasn't anything that was a sacrifice to him. You see, when your heart is in the right place and your heart is right with somebody, you can go the extra mile to do something that the person you are giving something to will be pleased with. If my heart is not right towards you, even if I have to give you a Christmas present, I will give you a Christmas present just because I have to. Not because I want to, not because I love to. Therefore, if I want to give you something, if I go to the supermarket to look for something or to the shop to look for something, you know what I will buy? I will buy the cheapest thing I see there. I will not bother myself to going and looking. First of all, I wouldn't even consider what does she like. Is what is convenient for me to find. I won't consider how much does it cost. It costs too much. I'll look for the cheapest thing to buy. That was the heart of Cain. So he's giving something to God, started from the heart that was not right. So what he brought before God would not have been right itself. But what Abel's heart started from the place that was right. In the book of Hebrew, the book Hebrew calls Abel righteous Abel. Righteous means that your heart is right with God. You are in right standing with God. So Abel's gift started from the heart that was right before God, so that what he brought before God was something of a sacrifice. There was an account, if you want to write it down, 2 Samuel, verse 24. David wanted to buy a piece of land. And the people who are going to sell it to him said, "Don't, you are the king, don't worry. You know, take it for free." And David said something. "I would not take this for free because I would not give unto my God that which cost me nothing." That was a heart that is right before God. You see, when we ask ourselves from the topic, what kind of offering does God deserve? What you give to God has to start from a place that is right before God. Because if your heart is not right before God, whatever you give unto God will not be regarded by him. You can give a formality. And there are many people in many churches who give to God, but God doesn't accept. And they think because they've given, God has accepted what they've brought before him. A heart that is not right before God cannot give a gift that is acceptable before God. So our giving starts from our hearts. Our giving starts from our hearts. You see, giving to God is also a type of worship. When we sing, when we dance, we lose ourselves before the presence of God because we do not take any regard of who we are. There was a time in the Bible when the wife of King David, Micah. When she saw her husband dancing, and his dance was a worship to God because he did not regard his royal, his royal composure. He did not regard himself to be anything that, look, I have to comport myself with dignity. He danced before God until some of his clothes began to go and his underpants were showing. And Micah was like, how can you be king, be dancing like commoners? You know? You can imagine Sister Bola leading us, just losing ourselves because of the glory of God. And somebody can't be dancing like everybody dancing. Don't you have any dignity? Yes, you can have dignity, but before God, what is dignity? I have been to churches where, you know, it's not carpeted like we have carpeted floors like this. It's formica or tile. The church when I went to Yedekpe, it did not have any, it was not floor, it was ground. You know the difference between floor and ground? We were not standing on the floor, we were standing on the ground. And you can imagine, for the glory of God to descend, and you say, because I'm wearing a suit, I can't prostrate myself on the ground, I'm too dignified. Some people will wear their Sunday bests, and when it comes to worshiping God, they will lay themselves prostrate before God, because the glory of God, they can see an inkling into who this God is. They don't think about dignity. They don't even think about composure. They don't think about how big they are. They don't think about degrees. What they think about is, God, you are a great God. I'm a very small human being. If not for you, I would not be anything in this place. And they go prostrate before God. When you prostrate before God, it is a sign of worship. If you don't think so, go into the rest of the Bible, where people prostrate before Christ. I always say they came at his feet to worship him. The posture of coming at his feet to worship him is either you kneeling down at his feet or being prostrate before his feet. Abel brought a right offering because his heart was right before God. You see, the picture that we are looking at is the picture of the church today. Because there are only two types of worship for people who come to church. There's only two types, no other. There's worship that comes by formality. Because you are a Sunday Christian, because by tradition you have to come to church on Sunday. By tradition you have to give to God. And by tradition you have to worship. So that worship is a formality. And then there's the heart of true worship. People who can let go before God. People who they give of a sacrifice before God. People who say, no, I will not give God that which is ordinary. What I will give to God is what cost me something. It cost me something. So there's a formalistic heart. A heart of formal worship, a heart of traditional worship, and there is a heart of true worship. Abel bore a heart of true worship before God. I wrote something down here that's, if you have the time, I'd like to dictate it. If you want to write it, it's not by force, but it's something that blessed me, and I believe giving to God, this is truly the foundation and the basis of anything that is an offering that God regards. I'll read it first, and then I'll read it slowly if you want to write it. Sacrifice in the Old Testament is not a pre-approved way of gaining God's regard and favor. The principle behind it has always been and remains the same till this day, as it does for all acts of service and ritual in the Christian faith today. God always inspects the giver and the worshiper before he inspects the gift, service, or worship. God always inspects, let me put it, God always inspects the heart of the giver and the worshiper before he inspects the gift, the service, or the worship. Now, let me read it slowly if you want to write it down. Sacrifice in the Old Testament. Sacrifice in the Old Testament is not a pre-approved way. Sacrifice in the Old Testament is not a pre-approved way of gaining God's regard and favor. Is not a pre-approved way of gaining God's regard and favor. The principle behind it has always been and remains the same till this day. The principle behind it has always been and remains the same till this day, as it does for all acts of service and ritual. As it does for all acts of service and ritual in the Christian faith. And then you can put in capital. Or as American, you can put in uppercase. God always inspects the heart of the giver and the worshiper. God always inspects the heart of the giver and the worshiper before he inspects the gift, service, or worship. God always inspects the heart of the giver and the worshiper before he inspects the gift, the service, or worship. Does it make sense now, brethren, why what Cain brought, God did not regard, as people say, because it was a bloodless sacrifice? It wasn't because it was a bloodless sacrifice. It was because, first and foremost, as the passage further told us, the heart of Cain was not right at all. Even if Cain brought a bloody sacrifice, God still would have rejected it. If what he brought was more in quantity than what Abel brought, God still would have rejected it. Because his heart was not right to start with. And God told him, sin crouches at your door. It's ready to pounce on you and master you. And it did. Because later on, you see, if we don't deal with the small things that fester, if we don't deal with it, those small things, they grow into monsters that take hold. It started with a heart that was not right before God. It ended with a heart of murder. He killed his own brother out of jealousy, out of rage, out of not fearing God, and out of not wanting to repent and doing what is right before God. Brethren, when you come to this God that we serve, he doesn't beat around the bush. He lays into you straight, this is what is wrong. Deal with that first before you worship. Deal with that first before you come near. Because God will always meet you where the rubber meets the road. He will always see through you. People might not be able to see, but God will always see through your motives, whether it is right or whether it is wrong. And when God speaks, it will be left to you whether you want to correct your motive or you want to remain the same. Let me end by reading two passages that buttress what we're saying. Can somebody open to 1 Samuel 15, verse 22? And here, God said the same thing to somebody we know very well in the Bible. 1 Samuel 15, 22. And here was a prophet speaking to a king. Can somebody please read?
So Samuel said, As the Lord has great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices, as in obeying the voice of the Lord, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to eat than the fat of rams.
And I won't go into that story, but we all know the story very well. Somebody brought very good sacrifice before God. You know, the best of the sheep, the best of the ram from their plunder. I said, well, you know, wanted to give something unto you. This is the best of that land that we went to plunder. And God said, is it the best of sheep and ram I delight in? What I delight in is a heart. It is better to do what? To be obedient to what I have told you to do. It's no different from what God told Cain. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Obedience is better than the gift you bring before God. So, in the first place, you giving to me, it's not as if I'm going to eat what you have brought. You are giving from you wanting to acknowledge my lordship over what is yours, wanting to give thanks for what you have brought. But if your heart is not right, I cannot regard it. Your pastors can collect it too. But I do not regard it. Second one, Psalm 51, verse 17. And here was a person who God spoke to. Spoke to his heart that was wrong. He listened, he repented. And he spoke.
The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. This, O God, you will not despise.
The sacrifices, the true sacrifices of God. You see, so you bring something as a sacrifice in figure. But the true sacrifice are a broken and a contrite heart. When that sacrifice is brought before God, before the physical, then the physical will be accepted before God. Lastly, can somebody read Proverbs 21, 27? Proverbs 21, verse 27. Does that tell you something about what we've read today? The sacrifices of the wicked, they are an abomination before God. First of all, you know, because if you are wicked, your heart is not right. And then you say you are bringing something for God to accept. Brethren, what I'm trying to tell us today, when we come to the issue of giving to God, over the ages, churches, and we are not exempt, have focused more on the gift that is brought than the heart that is bringing it. So right before God gave the law, What God desired more than the physical gift of itself was a heart that was right before him. And that is what I believe we need to start re-emphasizing to people. It is not the physical gift that is most important. When a heart is right, you will not begin to ask, okay, is what I give, should it be out of my gross or my net? Should I give it after I pay taxes or before I pay taxes? It's not law. When your heart is right, nobody will need to tell you this is what you need to give to God. Because what you give to God will be a sacrifice that is worthy of this king that you serve. That is why David could say, I cannot give unto God that which cost me nothing. But unfortunately, pastors today have focused more about what you bring than about the heart that brings it. Pastors today do not care about your heart before God, will not tell you that if your heart is not right, God will reject what you bring. But I am telling you, brethren, we need to change and go back to God's original plan of what is a right offering unto him, what God deserves. When you bring anything to God, your heart has to be right before him first. Otherwise, if you put water in the baskets, you know what happens? That is what your offering will be before the presence of God. Yes, the church will use it, but God has never regarded it. And the church today is doing so much that God has no part to play in. We have to return back to God's original plan. So when we now talk about what tithe is, we will begin to understand what happened for the tithe to be instituted. Because originally, people who gave to God gave out of a heart of sacrifice, out of a right heart first, so that what they brought was now regarded before God. We'll continue next week by God's grace. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we learn these things, help our hearts to fear you. Father, I pray that any time we come before your presence with an act of worship, help us to search ourselves, to be right with you, so that all that we consider as worship, Lord, will not be stick and stones, which will be burned up before your presence. Yes, you have saved us, and we give thanks. But salvation is just the beginning. It's not the goal. It's the beginning of the Christian life. And we pray, Lord, out of a heart that now knows you, as David said, make us right. Give us a broken heart and a contrite spirit. You regard obedience more than you regard whatever sacrifice we bring. So no matter how much we bring, if our heart is not right, it means nothing before you. Lord, in the knowledge of this, please cleanse our hearts. Wash our hearts clean with the blood of Jesus. Make us right before you so that our worship, our service, our offering may be right before you. We give thanks and pray this in your precious name. Amen.